Well, good morning. My name is Pastor Pete. I am pastor of the Rock Church in L.A. on 20th and Vermont. If you know the L.A. landscape, we're right across the street from World Impact, right there in between, next to USC. And my special connection to New City Church is that before you guys actually became a church and had your first public service, I was one of the first people to speak to New City launch team at a retreat back in 2008 or 2007 or something like that. And so that's how I met met your pastor, and we became friends, and then we planted and launched our churches at the same time. And so our church has been in existence just about the same amount of time that you all have been in existence. And so so some of you may, if you've been here from the beginning, I know like Kevin's kids, they were little babies running around, and now I think they like just graduated high school or something like that. And so it's been a while. I didn't have gray in my beard either when I first. And so I am here to speak just for a moment from the topic Father Wounds. I was told that this is like the summer mixtape series, so I was supposed to have a title that had like a song or something, and so I'm going to change my title, and so today's title is Papa Was a Rolling Stone, all right? All right, well, scripture that I want to share with you this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 15, beginning at verse number 17. And before I read the scripture, I'll pray, and then we'll get started. Lord, just thank you for this day, and I thank you, God, for this opportunity to speak a word of encouragement to your people. And so, God, I ask that you would take everything that I am and who I am and how you created me to be, and let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, in Luke chapter number 15, verses 17 through verse number 20, it says this. It says, when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. And he ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. So I've been in ministry for the past 25 years or so, and I was saved and baptized when I was a young child in elementary school. And throughout my years in the local church, I've heard the story of the prodigal son preached a lot. And this particular parable is placed in the Gospel of Luke among many of the other parables that the writer uses to demonstrate the characteristics of the kingdom of God. And so Jesus in this parable tells of a father who had two sons, and the younger son asked for his inheritance. And so the father decided to give the younger son his inheritance, and the son received it, and he carelessly wasted all of the resources and money on wild partying. And in the 13th verse of the text, the writer says, not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country, and there he squandered his property in reckless living. And so when you think about the story of, in the Bible, the parable of the prodigal son, it says that many days had passed, and this famine came upon the land, and the son was in extreme need, and he had no money, no place to live, no family to depend on, and so he hired himself out as a last resort. And he found himself in the pig pen, eating the same slop that the pigs feasted on. And this is the pivotal point in this text of the story, is when the son realizes that he is living a life that God had not designed or purposed for him to live. Because in the text it says, but when he came to himself, he said, How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread? But I perish here with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. And I think what's really, really important in this parable is that the son actually came to himself. And he realized that the life he was living wasn't the life that God had actually desired for him or purposed for him. He was living under his father's roof, and now he was outside of the ark of his father's love and care and safety. And surprisingly, in the text, the Bible says that the father actually greeted him when he saw him coming up the road. The father actually ran out and met him. And when I think about this story of the prodigal son, I think about this story because in my life, the tables were kind of turned. In my case, the tables were turned because my biological father decided to leave and squander his life in wild living. He found himself homeless on Skid Row in downtown, eating from trash cans and other people's unwanted food. And my father became the son, and I took the role as the father. I was the one who had to demonstrate compassion towards him, even though he was willing to risk the stability of his family. But it was only by God's grace that we were reunited after I had searched for him for over 30 years on Skid Row.
Thank you, Lord.
But more importantly was the fact that I went through this process and I forgave him when I saw him coming up the road. And I've often wondered growing up, what would it be like to have to forgive someone even if they didn't deserve it? That's when I began this journey of the prodigal father or father wounds. The relationship between a father and a son is important, especially, you know, in the United States, you have all these statistics about fatherless homes. And I decided to share the story of my story of the prodigal father in hopes of helping those who grew up without a father in their lives. There are many people in this country that have had challenges in life because they're still holding on to resentment and anger and low self-esteem and unforgiveness because of old family wounds. And I believe that God sent me today with a word to heal. Those of you who grew up without your fathers, but there is also a word for fathers who don't have relationships with their biological children today. There are many fathers in this world who would love to see their kids, but because of the lie that they have believed from the enemy, they have not pursued reconciliation in some cases. But I pray that you are challenged to begin a journey of restoration, to reunite with your own father, your own son, your own daughter. And it doesn't mean that life's problems will all of a sudden be fixed. What it does mean, though, is that your past and all of the hurt and pain that you may have carried can be healed and restored. God has a purpose for your life, and you will not be able to walk in that purpose until you deal with your own father wounds. And I don't know who I'm talking to this morning, but God really sent me on assignment to let you know that you can be healed and set free. It's Juneteenth weekend, talking about freedom. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. And I'm not telling you something that I heard. I'm actually telling you something that I know. In fact, if you want to be healed from your old father wounds, there are three things that I will leave with you today on this journey of restoration, because wounds can cause you to experience trauma. Somebody say trauma. Rather, family wounds, church wounds, father wounds, trauma is real. When trauma is not transformed, it can become transferred to the next generation, and the next generation, and the next generation. But I am about breaking intergenerational curses of trauma, starting with myself and my own father wounds. So here's my first point today. My first thing is this. is to understand that trauma disconnects. Say trauma disconnects. It disconnects you from your reality. It disconnects you from your purpose. It disconnects you from your culture. When the son in this parable got his inheritance and did all of his wild living, he ended up in the pig slop. And I don't know about you, but having to be in that kind of place can bring about a level of trauma that disconnects you from feeling human. And being human, trauma disconnects. In the story, we see the son, he came to himself, and God really used that trauma to confront the son with the fact that he was outside of his father's safety. And he found himself coming to himself, hitting rock bottom. And I can affirm the fact that following Jesus is not painless and it's not trauma-free. From my own trauma and pain, it is a result of a papa who was a rolling stone, a father that I had to search for quite a while. And it seemed as though I had found him just miraculously. But in finding my father, I tried to reconcile with him and establish a firm, perpetual relationship with him. But the painful aspect was that my father did not seem to have that same energy. I have three adult children. I know I look like I'm 16, but I have three adult children that are grown and they have their own jobs, hallelujah, and they're doing their own thing. So I know what it means to want to have a relationship with your children. But in this story, it's traumatic for the son to see his father, and for me to see that my own father did not want to keep that same energy. But it still didn't mean that I would not pursue reconciliation in the process. And so when it comes to understanding our own trauma and how it disconnects, we must consider that sometimes trauma is going to be part of the process. If you go to the gym, I go to the gym down the street from here at the LA Athletic Club, and I had a trainer, and I'm trying to get ready for Jamaica, you know, this dad bod I got going, you know, I'm trying to get ready. So I go to this trainer, and when I went to the trainer, she said, "No pain." So some of y'all been to the gym, or you just act like you do. I get it, and so but pain is part of the process. In sports, I've never seen anyone have a victory without experiencing pain. Pain is a great teacher if you're willing to endure the process. And I declare that God uses your pain to make you stronger and not to destroy you, but to mature you in him. You see, here's my second point. I want to get to my second point. My second point is that pain is part of the process. It lets us know further about the maturing nature of being a follower of Jesus. The son experienced the pain of not being connected to his father. He realized the mistake he made, and he came to his senses, and he purposed in his heart that he would throw himself at his father's feet and ask for forgiveness. And so in the process of dealing with his own pain, in the process of maturing as his father's son, you can see the development in that process. You can see him going through the process of pain. And while in that process, he's maturing in his life. In order to get reconnected from being disconnected from your trauma, you have to go through that process. Somebody say, go through the process. When you go through the process, in the midst of that, you will begin to experience joy. Somebody say joy. Joy. And here's my third and final point. Performing joy is a pathway to healing. Amen. See, if you want to be healed from your old father wounds, not only do you have to understand that trauma disconnects you, but you have to also go through the process, but you must also go through the process while performing joy. What does that mean? Well, when I think about New City Church being an inclusive church, being an inclusive people, and what that means, when you think about New City Church and you think about being inclusivity and those that would be considered on the margins, society tells you to be quiet and that you're too loud and that you're too different. But joy is an act of resistance. I'm going to say that again. When the outside forces of oppressive systems and people and things tell you that you're too loud, you're too different, actually performing joy is an act of, as a matter of fact, it is, joy is a spiritual practice. You know, spiritual practices like examine. I know your pastor does examine, and he was doing it all through the pandemic, or spiritual practice of lectio or spiritual breath. Actually, practicing joy is a spiritual practice. What do I mean by that? Well, joy is resistance, because when I came up in the church, my grandmother would say, the joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me, and the world can't take it away. See, in the instance of this reconciling moment with my own father, it required resilience. It required a steadfast belief that joy was so deeply embedded in my spirit, in my heart, that I was not going to let anything, any outside forces disrupt or destroy that joy of us reconciling even after 30 years. Performance of joy while the wounds are still there is not a display of like this otherworldly strength, but it is an act of faith. And it lets you know that if you ask God to help you, he will lift that burden for you. Jesus said in the Gospels, come to me, all of you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So I asked God to help me to accept this fact. And after a while, I was able to release my anger towards my father, the shame I was living with, the guilt I was living with, because the burden was too heavy for me to carry. And I just remember hearing the Lord say, come to me, all of you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And so I found compassion. So it went from anger, guilt, and shame to compassion for a dad who I hadn't seen in 30 years. And I found myself resting in God's hands. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32, it says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Am I a better person than I was yesterday? Yes. Am I growing continually? Yes. Will I ever be the same? Absolutely not. And I don't know who I'm talking to this morning, but I pray that you will allow yourself to go through the process of finding inner joy in order to reconcile with your own fathers, to be healed from your own father wounds. And at the end of the day, it's about forgiving those who have hurt us, because Christ has forgiven us. And let me tell you this. When me and my dad reunited, God's hand of reconciliation and redemption had been at work. I've seen the hand of God moving on my behalf and his. I was challenged to love and show grace and mercy to a man who had not been a part of my life for over 30 years. We were like strangers to one another in some regards, but then there is something so beautiful that took place in the midst of that pain. I still have the pain and the trauma, but it's just a reminder that I don't have to be strong in my own strength, but I can actually glory in my weakness to know that God gives me the strength and that God is the best father, that God is my father figure. And I know that it is by the grace of God that allowed me to be the type of father that I am to my own children and to literally break the curse and the cycle of fatherlessness in homes on my family tree. So let me conclude by saying this. As you hear this kind of self-disclosing, transparent word, may you find what I found. And that is that not only is my earthly father, was a prodigal father, but that our heavenly father, God, is a prodigal God. Our heavenly father is a prodigal God because the term prodigal has more than one meaning. One is that it's reckless and wasteful, kind of like the son in the story of the prodigal son. But on the other hand, the term prodigal means lavish, extravagant, bountiless, and liberal. And that's how our loving God is. He is prodigal. He is lavish and extravagant and bountiless and liberal with his love towards us. There's this pastor from back in the day named Vernon McGee. And he told this story of this little girl who was in Sunday school class. And one Sunday school teacher asked, she says, who knows the difference between kindness and loving kindness? And the little girl raised her hand and said she knew the difference. She said, I know the difference between kindness and loving kindness. And the little girl said, kindness is when you ask your mother for some toast and she gives you some toast. But loving kindness is when you ask your mother for some toast and she gives you some toast with some jelly on it. And I submit to you this fact, that if we go through the pain and suffering, the God who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, you will not only experience the blessings of God, but you'll experience the blessings of God with some jelly on it. Trauma was part of Jesus's journey. Trauma was the lashes he received. Trauma was the nails in his hands and feet. Trauma was his mother standing at the foot of the cross, seeing him die. Trauma was his father turning his back on him. Trauma was when he died, but when he rose from the grave with all power, he still had the wounds from the nails in his hands, but those scars did not hurt anymore. They were just proof that he had overcome. That's why I love the scripture in the Gospel of John after the resurrection, Jesus as the wounded healer, when it says, then he said to Thomas, put your finger here, see my hands, reach out your hands and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. He still had the marks of the nails in his hands and feet. But when Thomas put them there, they didn't hurt Jesus anymore. So even though we still have the wounds of our past, Jesus can heal you of those past wounds. So when those things come up, they don't hurt anymore. But those scars are just proof that God has done a transforming work in your life. Amen. And I want to close with this video I'll share with you about my story. Yeah, this book came about after me discovering and finding my dad after 30 plus years of looking for him on Skid Row. I grew up in the 70s, my dad and my mom in a two-parent household with my dad and mom in Inglewood, and right around about the third grade, my mom left my dad for several reasons, but one of the biggest reasons is because he had started using drugs.
Now you're having a lot of problems with drugs, before the drugs. Doing like an easy life is different. It make it worse though. Before you fell away from your family. And so try for a while. You come to think on your own, you know, a different improvement in yourself, you know, bring you down lower and lower.
So we left and went to go live with my grandparents. And from that point, I had sporadic relationship with my dad and eventually lost touch with him. And from the time that I was in elementary school all the way through adulthood, lost contact with my dad and never talked to him.
My father was a great influence on him. And also my brother. And he had coaches at school, teachers, as well as when he went on to college, he had upperclassmen influences on him that helped him through some of those times in college.
I had father figures in my life, but really wanted to still have that authentic relationship with my biological father. And so just really wanted to reconnect with him, really wanted to find him, and really wanted reconciliation between us.
Drugs bring you down before you get euphoria, and you're up, and you're on top of everything then. Then you come on off it, back in the same drag. They can waste your money, waste your life, waste your breath.
So I remember back when my son was 12 years old, how he began to ask about seeing his father. And on several occasions, my brother would set up these meetings, but he would always be a no-show. And I wanted to tell my children, don't ask me anymore about seeing your father. I said, because he don't want to see you.
I really had to go through a process of forgiveness. And so even in the book, Prodigal Father, it's really about the story of the prodigal son that Jesus tells in that parable. And so with my story of the prodigal father, I often ask, well, what happens when those tables are turned and the son has to be the father and the father has to be the son? And so I kind of see that story of forgiveness through the parable of the prodigal son in the Bible.
Forgiveness is for you, not really for the other person. Because we can walk around with all this bitterness and hate in our hearts for someone, and that other person is going on with their life, doing what they do, and here you are still stewing in the same place.
I would oftentimes wonder where my dad was. I knew he was on Skid Row. I knew he was living on the streets, but did not know exactly where. I went and searched for him and tried to find him and reconnected for a brief moment, but then lost touch with him again. It wasn't until Cinco de Mayo of 2017 where I actually reconnected with my dad. I was in a meeting working with some pastors, and I got a phone call from California Hospital. And they were asking me a couple of questions over the phone, like, is your name Peter Watts? And I was like, yeah. They said, do you pastor a church in Los Angeles? I said, yeah. And they said, we think we found your dad. And I was just in shock. I didn't know, what to believe or what to do. But I ended the meeting that I was in, and I remember driving down the freeway, and I called my wife and told her to meet me there at the hospital, and got to California Hospital and walked in that room, and I saw him for the first time after almost 30 years. And I actually was going, and as I was driving down the freeway, I was going with anger in my heart, really ready to give him a piece of my mind, tell him of all of the hurt that he's caused and all of the things that he missed throughout the years, like missing the birth of his grandchildren, missing me graduating from college, my wedding, missing just a lot of significant and important things in my life. I really wanted to give him a piece of my mind about that, but the closer and closer I got to the hospital and the closer and closer I got to his hospital bed, the more I just felt the Spirit melt away that anger and really caused me to have a heart of forgiveness for him.
It was rough then. It might have been conversation. I'm glad to see you though. I'm alive. It's a good thing.
Well, my son became the man he is today because I prayed a lot for my children.
Even before they had the hashtag of Black Girl Magic, you know, my mom was Black Girl Magic, and you know, just thinking about all of the things that she had to endure, and even now with me reconnecting with them, and she's been praying for me and in our relationship, and so I'm just excited and happy that my mother is as strong as she's been.
I would just encourage anybody out there, no matter what your situation is to just trust in the Lord. Stand strong, because life has a lot of disappointments. Trust in the Word of God. Put these situations in His hand and allow Him to set you free. We're going to still walk around. We may still have those scars, those disappointments, but we can't let that overtake us.
There are a lot of people that are out there who grow up without their fathers, without their biological fathers. There are a lot of people who are fathers who don't have relationships with their own sons and daughters. And so I hope that when people read this book, that they find it in their own hearts to begin that process of forgiving their own fathers, their own brothers, their own uncles and cousins, and even for fathers to really forgive themselves for not having relationships with their own children. A lot of times, you know, we believe the lies that the enemy tells us about ourselves and about, you know, our past, and that's what's keeping a lot of people from reconciling. And so I hope that when people read this book, that they find it in themselves and find it in their heart to begin reconciling with their own fathers. And so if there are fathers out there, if there are sons and daughters out there who don't have relationships with their biological fathers, that they would begin that search and looking for their fathers and reconcile with them. And then also there are folks that are out there who can't reconcile with their biological fathers for whatever reason. It might be because their father has passed away, or their father's in a situation where they don't have the capacity to forgive. Like in my case, my father, you know, because he used drugs for so long, he really still does not have the capacity to say that I'm sorry. And I still have to live with that and accept that. And so in the book, I talk about forgiveness, and forgiveness being a process of grief and forgiveness. And it's almost like going through the grieving process and knowing that this person does not have the capacity to say I'm sorry, but you still go through that process. So in the future, I just hope that you know, my dad and I would continue to build this relationship between us. He, at this point in his life, only has like 10% of his heart functioning. He's using a oxygen tanks now. He's in and out of the hospital every now and then. And so I've been trying to get him help, get him housing, get him health care and things like that. So I just hope that he's restored in his relationship with God. I hope that he can live out the rest of his life guilt-free, knowing that I don't hold anything against him and he can forgive himself and that God has forgiven him. I had an opportunity about 2 weeks ago when I went to go visit him. I had an opportunity to pray the sinner's prayer with him, and he accepted Christ for the first time in his life. And so that was a big win for me. So if nothing else happens beyond this point, it's well with my soul that I was able to lead him to Christ, and that, you know, at this point, he would be able to spend the rest of his life in eternity, you know, in the arms of God.
Peter White Jr., you know, and look at you, you ministered everything. I'm proud of that.
So as the end of that story is that my dad passed away a year later, and I was able to do his memorial service at our church. You know, God just, you know, really shared with me that after all those years, he didn't have to die alone, you know, on the streets, because I was there at the hospital holding his hand when he had passed away. And so I just thank you for giving me the opportunity to share with you today, and I hope it helps somebody.